Hi, folks. So how many of you have or would like to fly a drone? And I'm talking about professionally, like make money at it.
I always want to make money in aviation, Mike.
Well, there's plenty of spending money in aviation. I know that part. So our guest this quarter hour is Scott Strimple, who is the founder of thedroneflightschool.com. Now, Scott is in part... First, welcome. Thank you for
yes,
joining.
Yes, glad to be here. Thank you.
Scott is with EAA Air Venture Oshkosh in part because he was the presenter of a one-day workshop Monday of this week to take interested parties through the process of becoming certified under Part 107 as a commercial drone pilot. So how did that go, by the way, on Monday?
It was a phenomenal turnout. We had a packed house on Monday. There was 100 people there. And you know how oftentimes things the last 5 hours, you see people standing up and stretching and walking out and not coming back. These people hung in there pretty much the whole time, and it was a great turnout. Much like we say in aviation, you're taking a drink from a fire hose here, because there's a lot of information, and I took what we usually do in 2 days and streamlined it down to 5 hours, and I think we covered a lot of the information that folks needed to be exposed to in that five-hour period.
Scott, are the people who are interested in this, are they already pilots of some other sort, or is this completely new to them?
Yeah, that's a great question. There, I was surprised just how many folks were not pilots. Being here at EAA, I would have thought most of them probably would have been, but out of the whole group there was maybe 25% of them Part 61 certified, or
sure.
Current.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, for those folks who are looking at this certification, what are the revenue opportunities that are out there? Now, I should say you're kind of at one end of that. You also do aerial cinematography, which is pretty exclusive, pretty specialized. But what else is there out there?
There is actually quite a bit that you can do with unmanned aircraft today. I think the obvious ones are the photography and the cinematography. You know, everybody, basically we get these phenomenal little cameras mounted to these drones, and we launch them, and we have a perspective that was only available to folks that had large budgets that could rent manned helicopters and aircraft to do in the past. So now everybody essentially becomes their own cinematographer, photographer, and mounting a camera on a drone and getting an aerial view. That's the obvious. Now there's a tremendous amount of opportunity in this field that don't have quite the sexiness of photography and cinema, but they are fairly lucrative. And you know, you get the folks that photogrammetry is the term that's used, and surveying. You know, they're the surveying community is utilizing this technology quite successfully. Folks that are mapping quarries, for instance, and they want to look at the volume of rock in their quarry, and then at the end of the day, let's see what the volume is and see how much we've actually moved out of the quarry. These are just some of the more obscure things that people don't actually think about. There's search and rescue opportunities. You know, there's a plethora of opportunity, and the financial gain depends on who you are and how you go out and exploit your skill set.
So, Scott, in addition to your role in the certification process, then are you making sure that people understand what those opportunities are to kind of point them in the right direction?
You know, in the certification process, I don't do a whole lot of that. Now, the Drone Flight School does have some different curriculums where we talk specifically about aerial cinema, aerial photography, mapping, mm-hmm. things like that. The 107 remote pilot certification training is predominantly about manned aviation and bringing a safety culture of manned aviation to the unmanned world in a more meaningful fashion than just studying online.
So it sounds like, to that extent, someone who already is a private pilot is way ahead of the game.
Absolutely.
In figuring that out.
Yep. When you know, aeronautical decision making, professional standards, crew resource management, all this stuff, normalization of deviance, these are things that the non-aviator has no clue what they're talking about, but the aviator already understands that. And then when we start talking about airspace and the reasons why you need to stay out of airspace, certain airspace, or receive prior authorization, they're already conditioned to, you know, they don't need to have that explained to them. And they don't argue with you, whereas the non-aviator just doesn't quite know what they don't know, and they need a little education in that area.
So how is the market coming to you or finding you? I mean, obviously there's a website that has a great name to it,
sure.
the thedroneflightschool.com. So, do you get sort of stopped on the street, so to speak, in the community of unmanned aerial operators?
Yeah. I wish I could say that. I don't. Mm-hmm. I do. I've been a filmmaker. You know, I wasn't sure what I wanted to be when I grew up, an airline pilot, filmmaker, musician, whatever. And so here I am. All the boxes kind of got checked one day. And because I was a filmmaker and I flew drones and I hung cameras underneath these things, long before drone was a common word, when the drones started showing up several years ago, folks in that community asked me to come out and educate them on this technology. And that's pretty much how I became, I wouldn't say I'm the most recognizable guy by any stretch, but I have a certain amount of visibility in the industry, and I think that's where it emanated from within the photography and the video worlds. I don't do a whole lot of marketing. I'm fairly busy as an airline pilot, and I'm basically trying to give back to the community here and offer my knowledge, training, and experience in both manned and unmanned world so that we can move this thing forward.
So then we talked about marketing. What do you observe of commercial drone pilots who then market their own services? What are you seeing that works, doesn't work?
Well, I tell you, first off, being a certificated remote pilot works because there, unfortunately, is quite a few of folks out there that don't even know you need to have a certification to operate for anything other than being a hobbyist. And so educating through your marketing, educating your prospective client that you are, in fact, certificated, insured, that you've got a track history. These are things that I see working quite successfully for many folks.
I should have asked you earlier, is there a threshold on weight of the aircraft on the low end that under which it doesn't require to be certified?
No, actually, the weight of the drone, less than 55 pounds, is the definition of a small unmanned aircraft.
0 to 55. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So if you want to use it for anything other than personal enjoyment and pleasure, i.e. the hobbyist, then you have to operate under Part 107, which requires you to be a certificated remote pilot.
Okay. So since you have experience both in cinematography as well as aviation and drones, what's easier, taking a drone pilot and teaching them about filmmaking, or taking a filmmaker and teaching them about drones?
Oh, yeah, right. they both have their pluses and minuses. Uh-huh. And I think I would like to say it's easier to take the aviator and teach him how to be a cinematographer or photographer. But by the same token, I will tell you, for those out there listening who are just drone pilots, I get it. There's not a lot of similarity between the physical operation of a manned aircraft and a multi-rotor copter. And that's been one of the, things folks for many years have said, why are we being required to learn all this manned aviation stuff? We're not flying an aircraft. But, that's where the dissimilarities end. And the similarities with the safety management system mindset and things like that all come to bear in the unmanned world just like they do in the manned world. So I think, ultimately, it's easier to take a filmmaker. He already understands the filmmaking side of things, and all I have to do is teach him the things he needs to know in aviation. By the same token, the aviator, I don't need to spend so much time on the aviation side of things. We have to talk about cameras now.
We're talking with Scott Strimple, who's the founder of thedroneflightschool.com, about being certified under Part 107 as a remote pilot. The process by which you acquire equipment has got to be a little bit of a roller coaster right now because there's so much change so fast. How do you recommend people sort of look at the investment in this technology and with a little bit of future-proofing or as much as possible?
Sure. That's a really good question as well. In manned aviation, we have the certification process. And the certification process is an arduous process for a manufacturer. It takes many, many months and costs lots of money. In the unmanned world, at least in the small unmanned world anyhow, the below 55-pound world, the FAA avoided the need for a type certification. And so these aircraft are just out there by the droves, and they are flying laptops is what I call them. And you end up replacing your laptop about every 18 months or so. Well, if you had a type cert on this aircraft, about the time it got all approved, it would be yesterday's technology and nobody would want to buy it. So future proofing in this world is like future proofing in the computer world.
Right.
I'm not sure there's a whole lot of, hey, today I'm going to buy this and use it 15 years from now or 10 years from now type thing.
Scott, it's interesting because I've been coming to EAA for years, as perhaps you have as well, and it's always been interesting to see, you know, the variety of opportunities in aviation. And there's a reason that EA is called the Spirit of Aviation, because there are so many things that are just different than an airplane that people can get their interest in and participate in aviation. And it sounds like you're doing a great job of keeping that going.
Well, the thing that kind of blows my mind about this is that we've been talking about drones either as a menace or as a gateway drug. This is the other direction. We're going the other way now, where aviation, where conventional manned aviation, is the gateway to this whole other world where people actually can make money doing aviation, which is the first thing you talked about.
Absolutely.
In this segment.
Absolutely.
It's kind of amazing.
It's exciting.
So when you go back home, do you have some follow-up work to do from some of the people that you met this week?
I do, yes. Several folks I've met. We've got some conversation to have. I also have another weekend, two-day ground school to teach here, 1st of August, and a couple others later on in the month as well.
So is there sort of advanced training that you and others will give post-certification on particular techniques or particular hardware?
The 107 class is just about, you know, here's what you need to get your remote pilot certification. Now, we go further in depth than that, and we help you write a safety management system for your organization to help deliver to risk management departments something that's meaningful to them other than just a certification that you got that said you knew how to pass a knowledge test. And we teach them the systems of the drones and certificate our own little in-house certification on certain types of drones that offers, again, the risk management departments at least something that they can sink their teeth into that says this person has had some formal training from somebody.
Scott, it sounds like you're the ideal person for all of this.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Scott Strimple with thedroneflightschool.com. You're listening to EAA Radio.